God has given us the desire, I think, to see Him work in this coming year in a special way. We've had a time of fasting and prayer. We have been challenged with Trevor and Paul. Our minds have been stirred with the reality of death. We've had the exhortations from God's Word even as we came to the end of last year and we realized that this incredible privilege of being a church is not something we could take for granted. God's presence amongst us and working with us is not something we can simply take for granted. What God has done last year, as incredible as it was, is not a guarantee that this year would be the same, or that God would work with us in a greater way. We need His power. We need His presence. He's indeed encouraged us with what He has done, and we ought to be greatly encouraged with what God has done, what God is doing in our midst, the saving of lost people, the adding to this assembly. We should be encouraged. As we start this new year, we should have an incredible expectation from our God, because our God is great, and our God delights to give to us that which we need to glorify Him. And yet, we know that even as Christians, we're going to face many struggles and many obstacles if we're going to move forward for the kingdom of God. If we're going to have an effect against Satan's kingdom, if we're going to go into his strongholds, we can expect that that's not going to happen without an incredible fight. This past Wednesday, we met together in our separate groups, in the grace groups. And for me, it was, as I thought about it, it was really an encouragement to hear the burdens of the brethren more directly and individually. Also, the struggles and the trials and the lives of different ones, but then more or less the prevailing need being expressed that we need a closer walk with God. We need a closer life with Jesus Christ. We need to know Him better. We need the preciousness of Jesus Christ to be more real to us. We need this closer life with Him. And I was thinking this morning, as we are looking forward to this year before us, as we're going to gather together even this afternoon as a church to consider the business of the church, the direction of the church for the future. What does God have for us to do in this coming year? How do we handle our resources that God has given? What should we do financially? What should our obligations be? That we need God's help from every direction. And the verses that were on my mind were in Proverbs. And I thought we'll just go through these verses and pray that God will speak to us from them and that they may be useful and profitable. In Proverbs chapter 3, very, very well-known verses, I think, for all of us who have been acquainted for any period of time with God's Word. Proverbs chapter 3. And I'm just, for the sake of time, going to read from verses 5 through verse 12. Proverbs 3, 5 through 12. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, despise not the Lord's discipline, or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights. As we enter this new year together, as a privilege that God has given to us as a church, we need nothing more. There is nothing more important for us than that Jesus Christ is the central object of our hearts and our life. We may have done many things in the past. God may have enabled us, strengthened us, given us wisdom to do things, but we cannot simply duplicate the traditions of the past. We must have the kind of relationship with our God, the kind of closeness with Him, the kind of direction from Him that will lead us and guide us to accomplish His purpose and His will according to His timing. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. We know these verses. We've probably memorized them when we were children. If we grew up in a Christian home, we've heard them over and over again, almost to the point that sometimes they've lost their meaning. They're just such common verses. But trust in the Lord with all our heart is the central need for Grace Community Church in this year. To trust in the Lord with all our heart, and not to lean to our own understanding. No matter what we've learned, no matter what we've seen, no matter what God has done, we cannot go forward in our own strength with our own understanding. That which was accomplished by men of God in the past and in present, those whom God has used, men and women, have been those who have trusted in the Lord with all their heart. Not perfect people, but people who again and again, as they learned to walk with God, trusted Him. Brethren, we need to trust Him. There's all kinds of uncertainties before us, but we have a whole cloud of witnesses. We have so many that have gone before us as we read in Hebrews chapter 11. Men like Abel, men like Enoch who walked with God. We can walk with God. God purposes for us to walk with Him. We have the full and complete revelation of Scripture. If Enoch could walk with God, if Enoch trusted God with all of his heart, we can, by the grace of God, do the same. We must do the same. Enoch, Noah. Noah trusted God with all of his heart. Everything around him, everything that his own understanding would dictate, is that which Noah was doing was of utmost foolishness. He was going to build a boat on dry ground and for 120 years preach to people that the wrath of God was coming, that a flood was coming, that he was building a boat. He could not lean to his own understanding. He had to trust God with all of his heart, or he would have never lasted. He would have never continued all of those years. When you think of how little Noah really had of the full revelation of Scripture, but he trusted God. He believed God. By faith, he pressed forward and continued on. Think of Abraham. the father of the faithful, we say. God spoke to Abraham. Abraham left everything behind to follow the leading of God in his life. And look at all of the difficult things that happened in Abraham's life. Abraham wasn't a perfect man. There were times along that pathway that he did lean to his own understanding. But yet when his life was said and done, he was a man who trusted God. He was enabled to do things he would have never been able to do if he hadn't trusted God. He wouldn't have left where he was. He wouldn't have moved to where God directed him. He wouldn't have done the things that he needed to do if he hadn't had this close life with God. If he hadn't trusted God with all of his heart, he would have never done what he did. And we will never do anything of any value for God unless we're trusting him, unless we're crying out to him every day, God, teach me. God, show me. It begins with our heart. Everything begins with our heart. As we examine the scriptures, everything comes back to our heart. Jesus Christ, is he the center object of our lives? We could go all the way through the rest of the Old Testament, kind of as Hebrews chapter 11 does, and it speaks of Sarah, and it speaks of Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph, and Moses. Moses. All men, all humans, all imperfect, but all living their lives by faith, and God enabling them to press forward to accomplish the purposes of God's kingdom. We saw the walls of Jericho fall. We saw Rahab by faith. By faith. By trusting in a God she hardly knew much about, but burned into her heart, this is the living God. I must trust him. I must adhere to his word and his command. And God honored it. God used her in more than one way. Our Lord and Savior coming through the lineage. We could go over to the New Testament. And again, as a family, we're going through the beginning of the New Testament as well as the beginning of the Old. And we find Jesus coming on the scene. We find him saying to his disciples, follow me. And they forsook all, and they followed him. What a glorious thing. They followed him. They trusted him with all their heart. But without going through more examples, let's look at the second part of that verse that says, trust the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Brothers and sisters, it's not like the Lord once saves us and we do trust him with all of our heart. There is no other. There is none other. Only in him do we find all and everything that we need for time and eternity. And we would confess that. But yet the instruction is very relevant for us. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and do not lean to thine own understanding. We are confronted every day of our life with the danger of leaning to our own understanding. Leaning to the past. Leaning upon the way we have done something in the past. Leaning to the knowledge we had in the past. Leaning upon the victories of the past. We're not very far into the book of Matthew in chapter 8. And the Lord Jesus Christ had called his disciples. He had already performed many miracles and wonders in their midst. He was leading them and guiding them. He was going about every city and village preaching the gospel and healing the sick and casting out devils, overcoming every obstacle in the pathway of bringing the message of the Messiah to those to whom he came. And now they're on their way. They get in a boat. They're on their way. They're going to go over for a particular purpose. Jesus had a particular purpose. That demoniac was going to be saved. And that man was going to be used in turn for many others, for the salvation of many others, to lift up the name of the one and only true God and the great things he had done and the great compassion. And on the way, in the boat, there came up a storm. Now the people in the boat with Jesus were used to storms. Some of them were experienced fishermen, and they knew all about the wind and the waves. And they would know how to deal with the wind and the waves and the storm. And in their own understanding of things, they labored hard to overcome the storm that had come in their lives. Until finally, according to their own understanding, there was no option left in their life. They woke up the Lord Jesus, who was asleep in the boat, and said, "Save us, Lord. We are perishing." It's interesting how Jesus answered them. And he said unto them, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Because they were really saved by the grace of God didn't mean they weren't prone to lean to their own understanding. Didn't mean that they were not prone, as we, to try to overcome the obstacles that come into our life in our own strength. And yet we must realize that God has his purpose, and his purpose will and must be accomplished. The gates of hell cannot prevail against God's church that's moving forward in God's strength to accomplish God's purpose. Each of our lives will not prematurely end until God has accomplished with us and through us what he has purposed. Jesus could go to sleep in the boat. He knew what God had purposed. He knew why he was on this earth. He knew he had a course to finish, and he knew he would finish his course. He knew why he had called the disciples. They had not chosen him. He'd chosen them. And they too would accomplish God's purpose. He was formulating the first church. He was putting together that first army that would bring the gospel to the world. They would, they must accomplish God's purpose. If God has put us together, God has put us together in this place. God has a purpose for us. God has a mission for us to accomplish, and it must be accomplished. Not through our understanding, not through our ability to overcome the storms and the obstacles, but through Jesus Christ. Look to him. Trust him with all thine heart. It's interesting that he rebuked them for their unbelief first, and then he calmed the storm. Jesus has all power. He had all power then. Jesus has arisen to glory. He's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. To him is given all power in heaven and earth. He has all power over all circumstances, over all the details in our life. He has promised to work them all out together for good. In our, this morning in our scripture reading, we have the story of Joseph. What an unpredictable chain of providences that were put together in the life of Joseph to absolutely bring about God's purposes. Not just for Joseph, but for the world. God was going to fulfill the promise given to Abraham through Isaac, Jacob, through Joseph. Brethren, God is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. If we would trust Him with all of our hearts and not lean to our own understanding, He will do the same for us. It begins with our heart, and it always will be our hearts. Our hearts have to be right with Him. We have to find our rest in Him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, He says. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Because why? Because he trusteth thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Our God is an everlasting rock, I think it says in the ESV. He's an everlasting rock of strength. We can have peace in our lives. We can move forward with confidence that God will bless us if we trust Him, if we look to Him, if we forsake our own ways. Lean not on thine own understanding. Now, brothers and sisters, I know that if there's anybody that's more prone to think things through and lean to my own understanding, it's me. This is a rebuke to my own heart over and over and over again. I cannot figure out the future. But over and over and over again, God brings us to the end of ourselves like He did with those disciples and shows us that we don't have to figure everything out. There is a resting place in Him. There is a peace and joy. We were talking about that Wednesday night. That will keep Him in perfect peace. Is that true? Brethren, that's true. Trust in the Lord Jehovah. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Well, you see, we have this problem with leaning to our own understanding, and it can creep up upon us incredibly fast. When we're not aware of it, all of a sudden we're leaning to our own understanding again. I was thinking of this other verse in Matthew chapter 16. That's an interesting chapter. That's the chapter where Jesus asked Peter and asked the disciples, "Who am I?" "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter, you have it right on. You have it right on. And you didn't get this from your own thinking. The Father revealed this to you. Boy, Peter thought, that's right. I really have something. This is really, he was probably rejoicing in his heart when Jesus gave that commendation for him. But look how quickly, a few verses later, Jesus starts talking about what the true Christian life and mission is going to be. In verse 21, Matthew 16, verse 21, from that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Verse 22, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you." Wow. But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me. You are not setting, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Get behind me, Satan. You're not setting your mind on the things of God. You're setting your mind on the things of man. Peter, you're leaning to your own understanding. What you said before about the Christ being the Son of the living God, that's from God. That's truth. What you're saying now is coming from the pit of hell. It's coming from Satan. It's the thinking of men. Just in a short context of verses. And then it's interesting. After telling Peter, you know, the Father revealed these special things to you. And Peter thinking, I am somebody special. Privileged, yes, he was. If God's revealed to us truth, brethren, that the world hasn't seen, if God's opened our eyes to the precious reality of Jesus Christ, we didn't find that ourselves. Every one of us who are truly saved by the grace of God are going to confess that was a miracle. The Father needed to open my eyes. The Spirit of God had to work that within me. I would have never seen the preciousness of Jesus Christ as the only Son of God, the living God. No, I wouldn't have seen it. And yet, after God's shown us all that, we're prone to take things into our own hands. And this had to do with the kingdom of God. This had to do with the way in which the kingdom of God would be expanded and extended throughout the world. This had to do with salvation itself. And here were the reasonings and the understanding of men creeping in and controlling the thinking of Peter and the disciples. And Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever would save his life will lose it. But whosoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? It's almost like Jesus is turning around, first saying, God has revealed this special truth about Jesus Christ to you. And now it's almost like he's confronting Peter and the disciples and saying, hey, look, if you don't get this straight, you're going to lose your soul. Now, we know the truth of the way God saves people. And it's God's work who begins the work. And God continues it. And God finishes it. And God did correct the thinking of Brother Peter and the rest of the disciples. And as we're going to see, even in Proverbs, God corrects the thinking, your thinking and my thinking, when it's not right too, because he loves us. But brothers and sisters, we are not exempt from the leaning to our own understanding. And then we shall not be able to go forward as a church. Individually as Christians and together as a church, we must abandon our own reasoning, our own understanding, and seek a close walk with the Lord to trust him. My life, Father, you've saved me. Father, you've given me the incredible privilege to see the fullness of Jesus Christ. Help me to abandon my own reasoning. Help me to look to you. And that brings us really to the next verse. It says in verse 8, Proverbs 3, verse 8, it says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. If our heart is right, then our prayer life will be right. If we honestly realize that we have no power in ourselves, we have no wisdom in ourselves, we have no strength, we cannot go forward. Without him we can do nothing. That should bring us, that must bring us to the place where we acknowledge him in all of our ways. Brother, how we need this year. How I need this. We sometimes have such narrow concepts of what prayer is. Is this a special time that we're going to pray and then we go about our business? Special time of prayer is so important in our lives, but we need to acknowledge Him in all of our ways. God has put us on a pathway. If we're saved by the grace of God, we've entered the straight gate. Through Jesus Christ, we've entered the pathway, and we're on a narrow way. And there are many confusing things. There are many distractions along that pathway that Brother John Bunyan describes for us quite well in Pilgrim's Progress. There are many things that can take us off the pathway for a time. We must acknowledge Him in all of our ways. God's purpose for us is that we should continually bring all of our life to Him. This is not some kind of a mechanical tradition where we're saying so many prayers a day or certain times of the day. When we're in India, we've got a mosque right across the street, and they're very faithful at their certain times to mumble all these prayers that I don't even think they know what they're saying. But we have the privilege, brother. We've had the privilege not to carry the cares and burdens and anxieties of life. But we have the privilege to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation, let your reasonableness, I think the ESV says, be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, peace of God will keep our hearts and minds, guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God will lead us. God will guide us. Acknowledge Him in all thy ways, and He will direct or make straight your paths. Brother, we're entering a new year, and we don't know the outcome of this year. We don't know whether we're going to live or whether we're going to die. We don't know how many of us are going to finish this year 2010 and how many are not. We've seen others who have passed away already. David's brother in this last week. We don't know. And it matters not. Acknowledge Him in all thy ways. Trust Him with all thine heart. It shall be, it says here, it shall be, verse 8, it will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. It says in the King James, it will be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. The Amplified Bible says it will be health to your nerves and sinews. It will be for the well-being of your inward gut. I kind of like that. That's how I interpret it. But it's for the well-being of our bodies. This close walk with the Lord will provide for us all of the physical, mental, emotional nourishment that we need to finish our course. No, this is not preaching some health and wealth religion. This is not saying that if we acknowledge the Lord in all of our ways, we're going to be 500 years old and never get sick. No, brother. God is going to give us the health and the strength and the peace and the joy to finish our course. I mean, what more is there to our life? We want to finish the course. We're on this way, and we want God to direct our path so that we can finish the course, so that we can get to glory and give Him glory in the pathway. That's our objective. Our objective isn't to stay here the longest we can stay here. Our objective is to know God, to enjoy God, to reflect Jesus Christ, to display Him for the world to see. And whether our course is very short, like the course of John the Baptist, James who was beheaded, or whether it's John on the Isle of Patmos till we're some who knows how many 90-some years old. That's God's business. But we must have this walk with God. We must have this well-being of body, soul, and mind while we live. He'll give us what we need. That's the point. The point isn't whether we're going to be the healthiest, the strongest, or we'll live the longest. The issue is if we trust Him, He'll give us everything we need. The next verse, and it relates, of course, even with the concerns we have this afternoon when we consider finances. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with new wine. Honor the Lord with your substance and the first fruits of all your increase. If we put God, if we put Jesus Christ and His kingdom first, He will give us everything else we need to accomplish His glorious purposes for our life, for this church, His church, Grace Community Church. What an encouragement. You know, it's a sharp exhortation for us that our hearts must be in the right place. We must look continually to Him. And I forgot that verse in between, be not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord and turn from evil. Be not wise in our own eyes, fear the Lord and turn from evil, depart from evil, flee from our evil thoughts, flee from our wrong confidences. Quickly, run, turn. God will provide our needs. And then finally, because our time is running out, verse 11 and 12, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of His reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom He loves as a father, the son, in whom He delights. Brother, that's precious. It's precious that He loves us so much that He will reprove us. He will correct us. And this is the way our minds should be focused. Let us not be weary of His chastening hand. The greatest evidence that the Lord loves us is that He doesn't leave us to ourselves. The greatest evidence that He loves us is that when we wander, He draws us back. He deals with our hearts. It's not God's purpose with His discipline to send us into despair, into depression. But rather, we should encourage ourselves with the very realities. He's tugging on my heart. He's dealing with this issue in my life. He's dealing with that issue in our life. That ought to be our prayer. Lord, I don't even know it sometimes when I'm leaning to my own understanding, when I have high regard for my own thoughts. Lord, reveal it. Make it clear where my thoughts, my heart, differ from yours. God loves us so much that He will discipline us. He will correct us. Ask the Christians that have been Christians for any period of time how loving, how faithful God has been to us in correcting us and bringing us back and showing us that only in Jesus Christ is the all-sufficiency that we have and need for time and for eternity. The Lord reproves him whom He loves as the Father, the Son, in whom He delights. Brethren, let us take much courage. Not that we have anything figured out. Not that we know what pathway to take. Not that we have clarity in every step we must take this year. But let us rejoice greatly that our God has all the wisdom we need, that our God has all the power we need to overcome all of the obstacles we're going to face. Let us rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And for you here this morning, whose lives are in a place of confusion, you are who are here this morning who have no hope, there's only hope, joy, and rest to be found in one place, and that's in Jesus Christ. He is so altogether sufficient. Come unto me, we heard it this week. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to the end of your own resources. Stop trying to build and find your own satisfaction in 1,000 places and 1,000 idols, when in Jesus Christ we have living water that will satisfy our souls now and through eternity. Time is short. How many times David hasn't asked us to pray for his brothers? And now one of them's in eternity. And the Lord only knows, but he has not much hope that anything ever happened. We're still living in the day of grace. Today is the day, the Scripture says. Come to Him. Trust Him. Look to Him. He has never turned any away who have come to Him. Father, we ask that You'd please help us. You know who we are. Father, You know us so much better than we know ourselves. And as you deal with us, as you teach us, just as you did your disciples, you reveal to us in so many ways the way in which we have trusted in the thinking of man, even listened to the messages of Satan. Father, but you're a faithful God. Father, you're a loving Father. You continue to deal with us. You continue to stir us up. Father, please, this year, use us as a church. Protect us and keep us from the evil one. And allow us to lift up your name so Jesus Christ might be known and glorified. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.